Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to my Blog Talk Radio show, Live Your Music. I'm Margot Joy Denader, and I'm a creative life balance coach and the author of The Art of Living a Life You Love. I am super excited to have Michelle Gordon back on my show as my guest today. I'm happy to welcome her back to talk about her brand new book, Where's My Effing Unicorn?, and also about the upcoming release of the seventh book in her Earth Angel series. There's going to be a giveaway during the show of a signed copy of a special edition of the first book in Michelle's Earth Angel series. During the show, I'll take the first two or three callers who want to ask Michelle a question. Join us for inspiration to go for your dreams and encouragement to live your music in your own unique ways. Hello, Michelle. Are you there?
I'm here.
Yay, all the way from England.
Yeah.
I am so happy to have you back on the show today. It was so much fun having you on the show in June, and I just love your books. And so I was so excited to talk to you, though, about this new one, the new one that we have that's the Where's My Effing Unicorn book. Now, my first question for you about that little book is that your only nonfiction book that you've written?
Interestingly, no. but it's the first one that's kind of gone as crazy as this one did. I wrote another little mini one, a few years ago, actually, called Choose Your Own Reality.
Mm-hmm.
And I did originally print that separately, but it was even shorter than the Unicorn book, and it didn't really make any sense cost-wise. So I added it to the back of The Doorway to Pam, which is in the Visionary collection, and it's a bonus book at the back of that.
Now that you mention it, I remember seeing that in there because I have the Kindle version of
right,
the
yeah, it'll be on the
book.
Kindle as well.
And yeah, I loved that. You're right. It is rather short, but it was wonderful, and I remember really liking that. Hmm?
Yeah, so technically, I suppose The Unicorn is my second nonfiction, but they're so short.
Oh, my gosh. It's so funny because when you had announced on Facebook that you had it out on Kindle, I got it right away. I think it was on a Sunday, and it's a short book. That I sat down and I started reading, and I was going, oh my gosh, I just love her sense of humor. And what you were saying and how you were saying it about how people read self-help books. I have self-help in little quote marks because to me, I like to think of it as personal development books instead of self-help.
Yeah.
But anyway, it's just, oh my gosh, I was looking at it going, this is fantastic. It really is a book, I believe, that is going to get people to be able to use what they learn in the other books that they read. And I love how you suggest a few books, but say not to go on a wild goose egg hunt with all the books that are not that you don't mention that many books, but I mean, it's like, you know, you let us get a little curious and say, you know, if it's going to be something that you really want to do to look into it. But yeah, it just, I really, really enjoyed it. But I also am just wanting to know what inspired you to write it and also especially what inspired you to have the title, because the title, I have to admit, I was a little bit going, oh my gosh, I'm never wanting my son to say that word, my husband to say that word. And, you know, and yet I've learned that especially the younger generation uses it a lot, and so I've been needing to get used to the word. But it does get the point across, I guess, you know. So tell us about why you titled it that and a little bit about why you wrote it.
So, yeah, it wasn't something that I had planned. I literally woke up one Saturday morning, and the whole idea was just there. I woke up with the tagline running in my head as I was coming out of a dream. Don't remember what the dream was now. And I also had a title, but I don't remember what the title is. Well, by the time I'd got pen and paper, the title had gone, but the tagline was still there. And the basic structure of it, so all the different sections, it was just all there when I woke up. And I wrote about 3 pages in longhand in my notebook that was next to my bed, thank God. Always keep a notebook next to your bed. I wrote it all down, and I looked at these 3 pages, and I was like, whoa, that's a pretty cool idea. I'll get round to writing this one day, which is actually something that I cover in the book, the whole one-day concept.
Right.
And then I kind of got up and started going about my day, and I was trying to get ready to get on with my endless to-do list of things that I need to get done and work that I had outstanding. And the ideas, it was just writing itself in my head while I was trying to shower and get changed and eat breakfast, and it just wouldn't leave me alone. And I just thought, do you know what? I need to just say screw the to-do list and just write it right now. I need to just sit down and just get it done. And I did. I sat down that Saturday. So by the time I started writing, it was probably about lunchtime. Mm-hmm. And by, I don't know where it was, about sort of 7, 8 o'clock at night, maybe a bit later, I'd written the first 7,000 words of the book.
Wow.
And so the book was basically done. But then the following day, I remembered a couple of other points that I'd missed out the first time around. So I added probably about another 1,000 words. The book is about 8,000 words in total, so it's pretty short. And it was just there in its totality. And I thought, oh, that was really fun to write. I'm glad that I just followed my inspiration and just did it when I did. So I sent it to my editor, who edits all my books, and said, look, you know, can you kind of tidy it up a little bit and tell me what you think? Because when I write anything, when I write any of my books, I have absolutely no idea if it's any good. Like, genuinely, just, I have no clue. I have to have somebody else that I trust to say, yeah, it's really good, or no, it's terrible.
Mm-hmm.
So I sent it over to my editor, and she edited that week. You know, she got it done really quickly, and she loved it. We didn't agree on some of the points, you know, the things that she suggested changing, and I was like, nah, I like that.
Mm-hmm.
But we usually have this sort of back and forth banter. And then there was coming up with the title. And like I said, my original title, whatever it was gone. So I threw around quite a lot of titles, and I did have some serious ones. And I came up with some serious covers as well. And I looked at them and I just thought, nobody's going to read it. Like, you know, I wouldn't read it. It looks too boring, you know. And so somewhere along the line, I came up with Where's My Unicorn? Because there was this kind of misconception that, you know, when you're spiritual, if you do all the work and everything, then you'll end up with a life full of rainbows and unicorns and pixies and things. And, you know, I was just like, well, I've read all these books and I've done all this work. Where is my unicorn? Like, you know, when do I get, like, the happy ending? So I said to my editor about it, and she was the one that added the F word.
Oh.
So I'm pinning that on her. She was like, no, I think you'll find it's Where's My Effing Unicorn? And I was like, yes, that is it. And then it kind of went from there then, and it just seemed like the perfect title. Also because, you know, having unicorn in the title, having a pretty book, there were swear words inside, so I didn't really want people to mistake it for a children's book, you know.
Right.
So the swear words on the outside of the book kind of made it quite clear this is not a child's book. So I hope that was kind of, you know, get that across, really. So yeah, and then it, like you said, you saw it on the Sunday, so that was literally the following weekend after I wrote it. I got it uploaded and finished on the Friday night, actually, and then I sort of did some more finishing touches on Saturday, and then revealed it on the Sunday to everybody. And all I did was post a single post on Facebook, and it just went a little bit crazy. So.
Yeah, I know. It was, what number? It was like numbers. Oh, I don't remember what, but it was high.
Number
in
7 in its category. Yeah, number 7 in its category on Amazon, which was just
on the
first
day.
Really.
Yeah.
On the first day, yeah. I was just watching it going, oh my goodness, this is going a bit crazy. but it, like I said, it just captured people's imaginations. They resonated with the title and also the tagline. I think the tagline was quite important because it kind of said what it was about more. And then people were asking for the paperback then. So yeah, about 3 weeks later, I got the paperbacks done as well. So, but yeah.
Yeah, I only have it on Kindle so far, but I definitely want to get the paper one too, because I've read the Kindle one twice and I really like it, but there's so many great points in it that I love. As far as one of the ones that I really liked a lot is the God, there's so many I couldn't even choose which ones to talk about. But one of them is the idea of being an information junkie. I think that was what it was called. And you know, I have been so much the same way. I could really relate to that, except for me, I think of it more as an idea junkie. Because I've always loved books, and I've always loved, you know, if I can find one idea in there that's going to make my life or someone else's life better, it's worth reading. And so, you know, I could really, really relate to that. And then when you had said in there about how maybe the purpose of it wasn't really just for you to learn it, it was for you to be able to tell someone else, and then they actually would take action on it. And I realized, wow, that is so, I could really resonate with that, because my book, The Art of Living a Life You Love, is basically, it's personal development and spiritual growth. And it's one of those things where, you know, I wrote it because I wanted to share what I'd learned that's helped me love my life.
Yeah.
And that sounds so general that I think sometimes people don't get it, but reading your little book made me realize that my book is really, in a way, and I kind of had thought about this years ago, but it reminded me of a thought I'd had a long time ago, which is that my book has 12 chapters, and it's really actually kind of like 12 short books, because it can be read in any order. It doesn't matter. It doesn't, you know, you can, or you can just read one chapter. It doesn't matter which chapters you do or don't read. But, I feel like everyone should read your book about the effing unicorn. And, you know, it's funny because I'm getting used to that word. In my Toastmasters Club, we have a man who's 95 who wrote a book called The F Word.
And the word doesn't even ever
appear in the book, but he was in, you know, how people overuse it, and so it's kind of lost its significance, but it really does get across a point. Where is my effing unicorn?
Mm-hmm.
And I can just imagine that there's so many people out there that are saying that, you know, I've read all these things. How come it's my unicorn's not here? And the unicorn being the symbol for just about whatever you would want to have it be.
Yeah, it's definitely the metaphor of, you know, whatever your kind of, I suppose, goals are, whatever it is that you really want in your life, but it's not here yet. That's your unicorn, you know.
Right, exactly.
So, yeah.
Now, do you take your own advice that you offer in the book?
No.
None of it?
That's actually, I suppose, well, I suppose that's kind of part of, no, some of it. I mean, that is part of the reason why I wrote it, I suppose, and why I was inspired by it, because it's the book that I need to read on a regular basis to remind myself of what I need to do. I mean, yes, things like the one day, you know, not putting things off to another day that's some, you know, far off mythical kind of point. You know, I could very well have put off writing this book for one day when I had enough money or time or my to-do list was actually empty, which never happens. So, you know, I do jump on things, you know, if there's an inspiration kind of coming along, I will jump on it sometimes and I will go with it. And that was kind of, you know, evidence of that. But there's quite a lot of points in the book where, yeah, I don't generally, I mean, I'm an information junkie. So, you know, I gather so much information and then I put it all out there for other people. They change their lives and then I go, oh, you know, that would have been cool if I'd actually done the same thing and changed my life as well. But basically all of the reasons in the book why people might not have changed their lives are my reasons why I haven't changed mine. So, you know, I'm kind of right there with people going, where's my unicorn?
it's so funny because, you know, most of them are things that I do. So I could relate to it from but there are some of them that I also need reminders about too, you know, for
yeah.
definitely for one thing is not to just put things off and not, you know, to go with it when the inspiration is there instead of going, well, you know, I'm actually not too much good about sticking to my to-do list anyway. So that's probably not it. But, you know, I think that the chapter about being an actionless hero, you know, I mean, it, taking action. And, and then, of course, you said that there couldn't be a, quote, self-help book without the worst F word of all. And you want to tell people what that one is?
Oh, we all know it. It's fear.
Yeah. It really is the worst F word if you really get right down to it.
I mean, so many people, you know, there's so many books about, you know, fear and what to do with it. And, you know, for me, it's, like I say in the book, it is really about kind of making peace with it, you know. It's something that's always going to be there. It's not something that you need to get rid of necessarily. It's just, you know, make friends with it. And also, you know, I think one of the things that I said, hard to remember why I actually write, because when I'm in the zone I just write things, but it's about
let me help you out on that though too, because one
You've
of the things
the
that
more
I got from that is that fear means something matters to you. It just means something's important to you, and pay attention, you know. And also, fear and excitement, as I wrote about in my book, feel very, very similar sometimes, you know?
Oh, yeah.
And so if it's something that you would really love to have happen, to me, it's actually excitement is more than it is fear. If it's straight fear of something like it's going to hurt you physically or, you know, that sort of fear is not where there's any excitement in it, really, you know, unless you're somebody that just likes to be scared. But yeah, it's really more about excitement, and you know, I like to say in my book, feel the excitement and do it anyway. And the thing is, anytime we try something new, there's going to be some fear.
Yeah.
So
because
you know,
it's
we have
the
to,
unknown, isn't it? I mean, the biggest fear I think we have is of the unknown, is of things that, you know, we don't know the outcome, we don't know what it's going to feel like or look like or smell like, or, you know, and that's where the fear comes up. So anytime you're going to try something new, there's going to be fear. And it's kind of, it's turning it into excitement. And I think, I can't remember who said it, you might be able to help me out here. Fear is excitement without breath or something along those lines.
Oh, I think I heard that, but I don't remember who.
No, I don't remember
who
either.
Said it, but yeah, but you're
so
right.
So if you're in fear and you breathe, then it's excitement.
Well, also, if you're in fear and you start to breathe, it can connect you to your excitement, because, you know, sometimes fear gets you to hold your breath. And so that's why my reminders before I start my show, before I talk at my Toastmasters Club, it's always breathe, smile, and have fun. Because it's so easy to get up there and go, and you need to be able to breathe, and that brings you back into the moment and helps you relax. And then once you're in the moment, then you can just start having fun with it. Well,
because I know a few times when I've gone to speak, I've dove straight in, and then you find that you run out of breath halfway through your first sentence. Because you've just not like actually
really important.
You know, definitely.
Well, a little later on in the call, I'm going to take some callers and get some questions from them. But for right now, I also wanted to remember to mention that we're going to be giving away a signed copy of your special 5-year anniversary edition of the Earth Angel Training Academy. And it is such a beautiful book. I just love having the paper book of it, too. I read it originally on Kindle before I had you on my show and June, and I'm so glad that I read it, and I'm so glad to have this beautiful paper copy with the beautiful picture, or illustration, I guess it is, of velvet, Velvet, Violet Velvet. She's kind of both on the cover.
Yeah.
So it to me, it's like I said on the show before, it kind of is to me like in my version, it's a better version of Harry Potter in the sense that it's about angels and fairies and all light beings. And it just, you know, it's a combination of spirituality and also personal growth, I think, in a way, too. But, now I've read all of the first 6 books, and you have the 7th one coming out soon, right? It's, I think, the end of this month?
Yep, the 29th of November. So I've been working on it today, actually, getting it finalized and everything.
So what's the title of this one?
So this one is called The Twin Flame Reality. So it's, a little bit of a kind of twin flame reality check, I suppose. but it's basically about twin flames that aren't actually able to come together into an actual relationship for many different reasons. And I think it's something that will resonate with a lot of people because it's a situation that a lot of twin flames are in at the moment. They've either met their flame and it's not worked out and they've separated, or they know of their flame but they can't be with them. So it sounds like a kind of a depressing topic to write about, but I'm hoping that it will actually bring hope and inspire people who are in that situation, that it's not the end of the world if you can't be with your twin flame.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, you know, I didn't really know that much about twin flames until I read one of Doreen Virtue's books. I think it's called Messages from the Angels, and I learned a little bit about it in there. And then in your books, obviously, they talk about the twin flames in all the books, and then some of the books are about more about the twin flame relationships. So it's a pretty fascinating topic, and I just feel like there's so many people on Earth and beings on Earth, like our cat Bender, and so many just loving and kind beings that are here on Earth that really are Earth angels that are here to help us learn how to love ourselves and how to be in the moment, how to enjoy life more. And so, you know, I'm so glad that you wrote these books because it helps us realize that, you know, it's such a beautiful idea, and I believe it, that there are people on Earth that are Earth angels. My mom was like that. She was like an angel on Earth, and now I think of her, I have thought of her for 10 years now, as an angel in the sun. And, you know, so she, when I go out in the sunshine, I feel her love shining down on me, and I just love that. I love that feeling about it. So we're getting to, before I take the callers, I want to remember to say the things that I like to ask everyone during my show so they can think about it. What music do you hear calling you? What songs do you have in your heart? What do you feel inspired to do? What gives you joy? Are you willing to let go of your limiting beliefs and let yourself live your music? I hope each of you listening will do your best to love yourself, love the people and animals in your life, live your music, and enjoy your time on this beautiful planet we call Earth. And oh my gosh, there's so much beautiful about it, and there's so many people that get so stuck, Michelle, on, you know, what's wrong instead of what's right, and on you know, things that they can't control, and on, you know, their circle of concern, and as you know, with the election that's been going on here, we need all the Earth angels that we can get here in the United States right now.
Definitely.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to take a couple of callers. I will go in the order that they came in. So I'm going to go first to 4098. And that's my husband, Dudley. Dudley, are you there?
I am.
Hello.
Can you hear me?
Do you have a question for Michelle?
Oh, goodness. I really enjoyed the books, Michelle. I've been thinking about this for quite a while, and I wish I had reviewed this a little bit more before I sat down and started to listen to your interview with Morgo. But the type of feeling that you bring into this, the way I read it, is the warmth of personality that infuses itself into the lessons of the angels. And I love that idea. What you put into that makes it real, makes it personable, and gives it flavor and texture. And I think that's what you've really done outside of what normal angel teachings are like. This is taking, obviously, a fictitious subject, but twining it with reality so completely that you start wondering where reality and the fiction or the non-reality exists in this whole thing. So thank you for that. That's just my little brief synopsis,
thank
but
you.
That's the way it kind of reads to me and how much I enjoyed it as well.
Thank you. Yeah, that's awesome. It's quite funny, actually. Somebody once said to me that the way that I write, in that if you were to analyze my writing, you'd find there's not a huge amount of description. You know, I don't describe in great detail what people look like or what the places look like, but when people read it, they can see it and they can feel it. And it's almost as if they're really there with the characters. And
exactly.
Somebody said to me that it was almost as though I was connecting, you know, with what was happening in the book in some kind of dimension. And that I was actually encoding that other dimension into the book so that other people were visiting that dimension
exactly.
when they read it.
I understand
so,
exactly what you're saying. Oh, I understand exactly what you mean. You just touched a point that really resonates with me. I'm writing a book. I've been writing a book for years. I took a trip to Europe in 1971 when I was 24 years old,
wow.
Took a guitar and stayed there for 6 months and played in the streets. So you can imagine I accumulated a couple stories out of it.
Absolutely.
But the thing that really makes that work, all those stories work, and I'm in the process of rewriting it, is doing what you're saying. And instead of describing to the nth degree, feeling it through the character's experiences. And
yeah.
That just did a lot for me. Thank you very much.
I think he needs to read the effing unicorn book. Michelle, I think that one will help him get going and finish
get
that book.
Finished.
yeah. I'm going to take another caller now. This is 8291. So, hello, you're on the air. Do you want to ask Michelle a question? Hello? Is anyone there?
It's a lion.
Yeah, I can't.
Maybe it's the angels trying to speak to us.
I can't.
It does sound like angels trying to speak to you.
Yeah, okay. Well, I can't hear them, so I'm going to try 3130.
Hey.
Hello.
Hi there. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. I can hear you. Okay, so Dwayne. Okay, this is my brother Dwayne and Michelle.
Hey, Michelle.
Hi,
I just
here.
Wanted to thank you for the great series that you wrote. It was one of those nonstop reads. I just kept ordering the next book on Kindle and ordering the next book.
I have been told, I've been told off, actually, about how addictive they are.
Oh, yeah. It was like one of those things that, oh, my gosh, I've got to buy the next one. And so that feeds my, your seventh book. And so the Twin Flame Reality,
mm-hmm.
I'm anxious to get that one and read it. Far as your unicorn, I think all you have to do is go to Kindle and look at all the books you wrote, especially your Twin Flame series, and there's a unicorn for you.
Absolutely. The writing has always been my unicorn, I suppose. It's all I've ever really wanted to do. But I think it's good to set, you know, more unicorns, if you like, if you want to look at them as sort of goals. I mean, hopefully this is good news, but I've pretty much got another 18 books figured out that I want to write.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, and part of me kind of freaks out and thinks, oh, my goodness, I can't, you know, how the hell am I going to write another 18 books? But they're all stories and ideas and things that are just there waiting. And I suppose, you know, the idea of the unicorn book itself was to remind myself of all the reasons and excuses I might come up with not to actually do that. And, yeah, now that it's kind of in print, I kind of can't use those excuses anymore.
Now, I kind of get a feeling that, in a way, in your writing, that your Velvet Violet is that kind of close to where you were going with that?
Yeah, Velvet is based on myself. Very, very intuitive of you there. Her story is pretty much my story. So the later books on Earth, there's a lot of stuff that she goes through that was based on things that were happening with me. Some of the other characters are kind of a blend as well of things that have gone on. But Violet Velvet, yeah, she's me. And if you look closely enough at the cover of the special edition, I can't believe I'm actually admitting this live on radio, but the face is actually mine.
I see it right here. I have one of your autographed copies. My nephew got it from you down in L.A. And
yeah,
so I'm sitting here looking at it. But it's definitely an addicting series, and I'm thankful that I didn't have to wait too long for the next one.
Yes, and I do try and get them out as quickly as possible. I mean, I know that some people, obviously, you guys have only come across the series recently, but this new book, the seventh book in the series, was supposed to come out last year, and I run out of time because it's got a slight Christmas theme to it, and
oh,
I
cool.
missed the Christmas deadline, and I didn't want to publish it in March because that seemed wrong. So, yes,
oh, wow.
There are people who have been waiting a year for this book, so I feel a bit bad about that because I do try and get at least two books out a year, so I would like to really get the series finished in the next couple of years. And if I can step that up, obviously I will, because I have all these other books waiting to be written. So, but I am working on two other books. So I'm working on book 8 in the series, and I'm also working on a new series, which I'm quite excited about because I had that idea for a long time, and it's about, probably won't get into the story now, but it's similar-ish to the Earth Angel series, but different enough, obviously, to, you know, to be a whole new story. And I'm also starting a children's series about Earth Angels as well. So the Earth Angel series at the moment, obviously, was written for adults, and aside from the first book, really isn't, you know, appropriate for children. So I'm hoping to write, so the new series will be sort of more aimed at sort of 7, 8 to sort of 12 year olds, and it'll be about angels and fairies and mermaids and, you know, about those sort of subjects, but again slightly different.
Well, it's interesting about Earth Angels and all, and I had a feeling that they were around for a long time but was afraid to mention it to people, and I think it was Sonia Chiquette that opened me up to it. But thank you, and I'll let someone else speak, and great, thank you, and keep it up.
You're welcome. Mm-hmm. Thank you very much.
It just, to me, Michelle, your books, I feel like they would make awesome movies too. It's like you said, even though you don't go into great detail about what it looks like, in some ways I just felt like I was there. I really did.
Yep.
And it just, I could visualize it in being such beautiful and amazing scenes, especially at the Earth Angel Academy itself and, you know, the various locations that they had on Earth.
The gardens at the Academy is something that I would love to see created, especially the underwater garden. I didn't really, like, utilize that much in the story, but I could just imagine it because people are kind of walking around, but their hair's flying everywhere because there's water, but there isn't any water. I just kind of love that visual of, you know, there's, like, fish wandering around like in the air. I have no idea how you'd create that. Obviously, you'd probably, CGI. But there's quite a lot of visual stuff that I would love to see. And like the planets that the Golden Age children come from, the rainbow planet, well, not the rainbow, the crystal and the indigo worlds, I'd love to see the Golden City. I can imagine it would be, quite fun for somebody to design and make the actual visual of it.
It's interesting because I can picture it both ways as a movie like how Harry Potter was done, where it's actual people and actual scenes, but with CGI. And then I can also picture it, and maybe this is when I'm picturing it, it's, as an animated one, like how Disney does the beautiful animations. I can imagine it that way, and maybe the children's one could be the animated version.
Yeah, that would be awesome.
Of a movie, I mean.
Because the first book that I'm doing in the children's sort of series, I would love to see that sort of visually, because I think you could really do something quite amazing with it. The whole idea of the fairy realm and... Yeah, it's. I would love to see it as a TV series or a series of movies as well. The only thing with the Earth Angel series is it's going to be probably at least 13 books long, so it would be quite a lot of movies. So a TV show would be quite interesting because there's so many more characters and stories that I could tell. You could really have quite a lot of fun with going off in all different directions with that. So.
I think that's a better idea. I think you're right. It could be a series, and then people could look forward to it. Maybe Netflix can do it. Xander's working on an animated show for Netflix right now, but they're doing more and more shows. So maybe
they do some really good shows, actually.
Yeah. So maybe that's what will happen is they'll make it into the Earth Angel Training Academy TV series. Ooh, I like that idea. I would watch it. I would definitely watch it.
Definitely. Yeah. I mean, because I have to admit, one of the ones that I've gotten a little bit addicted to recently, because it's on Netflix, is the Once Upon a Time series. I'm a little bit behind everybody else, because I never saw it when it was on TV, so I've only been watching it recently, but I'm totally hooked on that.
Yeah, I don't know if we've watched that. That doesn't sound familiar. Does that sound familiar to you, Dudley? Are you still on the...
Yeah, I'm still here. I didn't know you were still had me on there. No, it doesn't.
Basically they take all the classic fairy tales and just give them twists and turn them on their head completely and just sort of play with them. But I mean, I love the way that they filmed it, and I love all the costumes and the sets. And so I've become a bit addicted to that, really. But
and that's a Netflix show.
Yeah, so I can. On Netflix, it's not by Netflix, I don't think.
It's
on regular TV before.
No,
they're on the sixth season.
Can you hear me?
Yeah. Wayne, is that you?
It's ABC.
ABC, that was it, yeah.
Yeah, it's ABC, and I think it's on Hulu. And it is a great series, and I could see how that would correlate to your Earth Angels. It would fit well. Something similar.
Yeah, I can quite imagine that, actually, because I love the way they've done the music, and it'd be a good parallel to that. And I think the audience that love Once Upon a Time would also love the Earth Angel series as well. So who knows? We'll put it out there.
Yeah, I'm putting it out there to the universe. I've been wanting some new shows to watch that are fun and uplifting, and that can teach us basic lessons in life in a lot of the ways that your books do, the Earth Angel books do. And I also loved your Visionary series. I don't think Dwayne's read that one yet. So that's another one for me to get addicted to. But I think there's only 4 books in that one, right?
There is only 4 books at the moment. I've had a few more ideas for more in the collection, and actually, there was an idea that I had of a sort of spin-off of The Doorway to Pam as well, which I would really love to have a go at, whether it would be a novella or a full novel, I'm not sure. But more. Like I said, plenty of ideas coming in. There's plenty of books that want to be written. It's just, yeah, it's just getting on with them and getting them done, really.
Yeah. I loved that story, The Book of Pam. I just, you know, whoa. We don't want to get into it too much because, you know, the other people haven't read it yet. So, but the Visionary series is also really, really good. I am so thankful.
You should tease us.
Yeah. Well, tell them a little bit about the Book of Pam then and the Visionary series so that they can get curious.
Okay, so the four books in the Visionary series, there's the Heaven.com, which is about a girl who passes over but then speaks to her friends from beyond the grave, if you like, from the other side. So that's about life after death. There's The Doy to Pam, which is about, it's basically about a girl who's hit rock bottom. She doesn't really know what to do anymore, and she finds herself coming across this tea room in the middle of nowhere that seems to pop out of nowhere. And when she enters the tea room, she meets this lady who is basically running Pam's, which is a different dimension. And it's the dimension that people find when they've hit rock bottom and they don't know what to do with their lives. And in this dimension, they find the thing, you know, whether it's the inspiration or the idea or whatever, that they need to turn their lives around. The third book in the series is called The Elfite, which is a made-up word that I made up, by the way, in case you're wondering. The Elfite is about it's about a girl who lives her life over and over again. So she's on about the 100th go of living the same life. So when she dies, she's reborn as the exact same person, and she lives her life again. And she tries to change things every time, but there's certain things that she can't change. So the book starts off with her trying not to meet the guy that she always ends up with, in the hope that that will change how things end. And then the fourth book in the collection at the moment is called I'm Here. And it's about a girl who is being haunted by the spirit of a guy that she went to school with and who has passed over. And it's about their connection to each other and their relationship. So, yeah.
I enjoyed all of the books. I did all of those. So I highly recommend them. I just want to say the time's going by really quickly. We've only got
I've just noticed
a couple of minutes left. And I think one of the questions I'd really like to ask you, though, is if there's one thing that today's listeners could take away from this interview, what would you like it to be?
I suppose it would be to, you know, to go after that unicorn, to find, you know, to figure out whatever it is that you want to do with your life or whatever it is you're passionate about, and then go for it. If people are listening to this and they're into the sort of spiritual things, one of the sections in the book that it's quite funny, really, because it's so totally me. But it's talking about how not to use spirituality as an excuse not to actually do what you want to do with your life. You know, so often it's like, oh, it's a full moon, I can't do that now, or Mercury's in retrograde, you know, don't buy anything now, or don't sign contracts, or don't. And there's quite a lot of things that can stop you from moving forward with something, or, you know, because the stars aren't aligned or whatever it is. And I think it's easy to make these excuses. It's easy to sit back and go, oh, it's not quite the right time yet or whatever. But all that really exists is right now. So whatever it is that you really want to do with your life, go and do it.
Just get started.
Go for it. Just take that step and do it, you know. And sometimes, yeah, say to hell with a to-do list and actually just sit down and just get writing or creating or painting or dancing or whatever it is that you really want to do, and just do it now. I think that's the main message of the Unicorn book is, you know, just do it now. Don't wait for
day
some F-D-I. Mythical one day.
Yeah. Just do it.
Yeah.
Well, we're going to be cut off in just a minute. So I just want to say thank you so much for being on my show again, for writing all these books. Thank you to Dwayne and Dudley for their comments and questions, and I wish I'd had time for more callers, so maybe next time we'll have to do an hour-long show so we can have more people.
We could talk forever.
Yeah. So everyone out there, please be yourself, love yourself, and live your music. It's the way to enjoy life, and it's the way to help light up this world of ours. Thank you, everyone, for listening. Thank you, Michelle, for being on the show.
Thank you very much.
And for writing your books. Have a great rest of the day and week, everyone. Bye for now.
Bye.
Bye.